Anyone else?
I'd like to, I'm Judy Garvey from Blue Hill, Maine, and I am not, I'm just speaking for 690. I'm just going to read a couple of brief statements from one of the prisoners' testimonies because they aren't here. And this is Mr. Brandon Thumb-Saban. My name is Brandon Thumb-Saban, and I am a Maine prisoner presently located in Suffield, Connecticut at McDougal Correctional Institution. The reason that I'm in favor of 690 is to show how out-of-state inmates are viewed and received based on what type of report is sent along with them, and the simple fact he comes from another state. In my first transfer, I was labeled as being of African-American race, which created many conflicts and problems. Not all West Coast prisons are very racial, and my own race was being Asian-American. I was transferred the first time roughly in May 2003. I'm just skipping over some of this, which you will have in your written testimony. On around September of 2008, I was told my best bet to remain on the East Coast and be somewhat close to my family would be to request a transfer to New England. So that's when he came to Connecticut. Upon arrival in Connecticut, he was spoken to by officers who then said to me, I must be a pain in the problem inmate, simply based on I was shipped out. Thus, from my first day here in a new state, I was already deemed a problem inmate. Similar as to my first encounters with Arizona DOC officers. So he goes on to say that he was labeled a gang member and that he didn't even know this until he was questioned by Arizona's gang unit. The reason he's bringing this up is because it inhibits, can inhibit return to Maine based on the way that he is labeled by the host prison. He goes on to say that he was had his life threatened in various places by people who actually believed he was in a gang. In both cases, the mental strain has been enormous, as seeing my family, especially my children, is basically non-existent due to the driving distance. He has not been able to watch them grow or visit with family as he once did weekly in Maine. The 15-minute phone calls allowed makes communication with both children and parents complicated because my time must be split up evenly between all of them. The children, both age 8, ask why they cannot see me like they used to. Whenever an inmate from a new state finds I'm from out of state and was transferred, a number of things occur. The suspicion, accusation, fairy tales, disgust, hate. I requested to be returned to Maine, or at least closer. And he talks about what occurred for him in those difficulties. Interaction with family friends makes stress and emotional situations more bearable and less straining. Also, communication between all is more easily available, making the bond between myself and my children still possible. I thank you for your time. Sincerely, Brandon Thumb-Saban. In the interest of time, I will not read long any excerpts. One closing statement from Mr. Richard McEthern, who is now at Maine State Prison, but who was transferred out three times. And you can read his statement. I urge you to pass LB 690, give state of Maine citizen prisoners the ability to utilize their First, Sixth, and 14th Amendment fear of being transferred to far and distant states. Respectfully submitted, Mr. Richard McEthern, number 2273. So again, these gentlemen are not aware that a policy has been hopefully worked out, and that you will read that and find reason to feel that it might work, which we in the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition are in full support of, giving that the policy for 690 an opportunity to work with the commissioner and his staff. We have very good working relationships at this point that are still in the beginning, but we are hopeful. Any questions?
Thank you for your testimony. Yep. Any questions from the committee? Senator?
Are you aware some states, such as Vermont, ship all the prisoners out of state?
for, are we talking about the private prison now or the Interstate Compact Act?
They ship all the prisoners back state.
No, because they don't have their own. Because they, I'm, I just want to clarify because I was a little confusing when I came up. I'm just speaking on 690.
Yes.
In behalf of these prisoners, but I will be talking on 1095 on behalf of myself and the Maine Prisoner Advocacy Coalition. But 690, and no, I'm not aware of that, but maybe it's because they don't have their own state institutions or something, I don't know. But no, that's interesting, and I wasn't aware of it. No. But this is just for 690.
Yeah, and I just question what about 50 people on state.
Right, no, I didn't know. But the 690, I believe the policy would not change the interstate transfer of prisoners. That would go on as it always has. Any more questions? Thank you.
There is a few more questions, ma'am.
Oh, sorry, I turned.
Well, thank you, Senator. Thank you, ma'am. I may have missed it in reading the double-sided testimony here that you just referred to. But I'm curious, are you aware of what Brandon's initial offense was?
Why he was in prison?
Yes.
No, and I'm not, no, aware of that.
I think that's significant. It looks to me, as I look down through this, like he's had a lot of situations that he's been involved in. Are you aware of those?
I'm aware.
Around those?
Only what he says here, and I don't have, I believe Mr. Huber had access to his files and the commissioner. Possibly what would happen, and there's many people I know in the Maine State Prison who have substantial criminal records, but you know that their sentence was not necessarily be transferred out of state. It depends on what they do while they're in prison, as you're bringing up now.
Yeah,
so,
I think,
and,
go ahead. Go ahead.
And if that changes down the line, there's one gentleman, maybe this one, who wrote and said at the beginning of his stay, and he has a life sentence, the beginning of his stay at Maine State Prison, he was involved in, you know, wrong behavior, that he stopped that. And then after a year from stopping that, he was still sent off. So I believe what the policy would say and what my understanding of the commissioner and his staff says is that it would be based on their behavior at the host prison as to whether they would be even considered to come back. So they would have to have a free period, a long period, of no write-ups, no disciplinary problems, no gangs, no nothing. And then they may be invited to come back if they present no risk, security risk to the prison.
Well,
people can change.
Thank you. I certainly don't read that in the bill. And I guess what I'm getting at is this letter would indicate, at least Brandon's point of view, from why all these situations have happened, but I guess what I'm going to ask you is, it sounds to me like there are many situations that arise, or any may be one of them, I don't know, where it's necessary to make these types of transfers, and maybe they don't meet the criteria to come back here to the state because of the behavior. Is that a possibility?
That is definitely a possibility.
So we're really taking this based on Brandon's word. We really don't know what the circumstances were that caused him to be sent out of state and kept there.
Right, but I know that the commissioner and the files would show that, and they wouldn't bring anybody back if they weren't deserving of coming back. So
we leave it to the commissioner's discretion.
It is now, and it would be after the if you agree that the bill would be put off for a year and the policy would be
okay,
given an opportunity.
Put off for a year.
If you did that, yeah.
Okay. Thank
so
you.
That's not being an expert, the best I can answer.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.